Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, the John Maxwell Facilitator and Coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome, and thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time with us, I just want to give you a heads up. If you want to learn more about really the content and the principles, what started this podcast and what we have the ability to do and partner with organizations around the world in regards to their culture and leadership development, I'd love for you to visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. We're doing a lot of that virtually now, which is great. A lot of us enjoy
Zoom expert now.
Being at home. Yeah, we still have some issues even with our internal team meetings, and we just kind of laughed it off. Or if you want to download a learner's guide that Perry has created for the episode today, you can do that there. Well, I'm excited about where we're going in this series because John writes a book a year, and there are several that just kind of stick out to me. And you and I play in the corporate space every day, helping organizations around the world. And some, I think, align with that more than others. And the book that we're going to kind of cover, some of the lessons we took out of, really aligns with leaders that are leading teams and people and organization. And it comes from his book, Leader Shift. Okay. Yes, I had an F in there, right? And if Perry and I get excited and you may think you've heard something, don't rewind it. Just keep going. But I love that what you did, because we're really talking about leadership culture. Right. And what are a couple of the shifts that leaders that we need to make in order to really enhance and build that leadership culture inside our organization? So looking forward to not only this episode, but the next couple as we go through that. But today's topic, and then I'm going to throw it to you just to kind of set the stage on how you got here, is moving from soloist to conductor. A leader's first challenge.
Yeah, it really is your first challenge. When you get that promotion, you've worked hard for that. And as you said, John talks about these shifts we need to make that he made over his career. And usually that first shift you have to make is the mindset of moving from being an individual contributor. Picture it, he called it soloist. I'm picturing a violinist, a soloist in the orchestra, to being promoted to be the conductor of the orchestra. It's what you were working for. It's what you you aspired to be. You got that promotion, and now you struggle with making that leap. What we see and we talk about, and the reason I picked these ones we're going to talk about, these are the things I hear on the coaching calls that we do. I hear a lot of people talk about this, but we're just really tempted, instead of becoming go from solos to conductor, I'll just be super soloist. And not take over the lead of the whole orchestra. So that's where that's coming from.
Well, and let me just set everybody at ease. First of all, Perry nor I will do any type of solo musically on this podcast. You would not want that. Now, Jake, maybe Jake, but not our voice, because he is a musician. Here's what I love about what you just said. We're bringing real-time discussions, thoughts, applications to this podcast, right? Like, it is what you're hearing real-time with our coaching partners, with the organizations that we're partnering with around the world. And I think a lot of leaders get benefit out of this, because we try to keep it short, to the point, and this is stuff that's going on right now. Right. And I think around this topic, for me, I know that I hear it quite a bit as well. And even me personally as a leader, right? Sometimes I'm just like, I can do more. I can sing louder. Back to your point here, we can play louder. We can work as a soloist. And so I know you have some ideas, because as leaders, men and women, we tend to default to that and just think that if we sing a little bit louder, we do this, and versus the conductor mindset. So you have a couple of ideas you want to take us through.
I hate to admit, but I got these from what I had to figure out. And then as I read when John wrote, I go, oh my gosh, yes, this was my struggle as well. But probably the number one thing that I had to do was go from thinking about myself. If you think you're a soloist in an orchestra, you're kind of focused on what you do. You're focused on your notes. You're part of the composition. And so the conductor is really more others-oriented, more thinking about the whole. Mm. And I found for me that, leadership was, at first it felt like it was about me. I got promoted. I'm the boss. But it's really not about me. It's about you. It's about the people. And it's easy to think when I become responsible for the outcome and I'm responsible for where we're going, it's about me. But no, I'm not going to get there without your help. So having that little mind shift thinking to say, it's really about the group now. It's not about me.
Yeah, it reminds me of a couple of quotes that John, we've all heard him say, where, you know, if it's lonely at the top, right, then you might not be leading. Or what the one where he says, hey, you know, if you're out in front and you're leading, you turn around and you're on a walk and no one's following you, you're just on a walk. You're not leading anybody. Yeah. And what I love about what you're talking about, where we're going, is that you need others. And we have to have that focus. We have to, as a leader, make sure that we get them moving in the direction that we want them to go and get them to the where we're going for outcomes. That's our responsibility, but you cannot do it alone. You can't be in this orchestra setting that we're talking about. You can't just be a soloist overpowering the orchestra. You won't be able to accomplish what you're trying to unless everybody's involved.
Yeah, and you've got to go, the next level is not just realizing it's others oriented, but you've got to understand the others.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, you know, being that soloist again. I understand my part. I understand my the composition, where I fit, what my role is. But as the conductor looks out and sees the strengths of everyone. He or she has to pull those things together. And that orchestra conductor is looking at the desires, the talents, the contributions, the skills, even the weaknesses of the team to bring it together to have the best, you know, sounding composition possible. And if I'm just thinking about me, I don't understand the people that are around me, I'm not going to be able to pull on those strengths and weaknesses.
That's why I love going back to this common language and the model of everything that we kind of build off of when it comes to setting an expectation of leadership culture in an organization is John's methodology of the five levels of leadership. And this so clearly, you know, just screams to me that an individual contributor, a soloist, is at level one. And John says, that's great. We all start there. It's probably where you're able to play the violin, to your point, really well by yourself. But to be in part of the orchestra, we got to go to the next level, and we got to begin to connect with those that are in the orchestra. As a conductor, we need to understand that we don't have to have relationships with everybody, although that's key. But we got to understand, we got to connect with them. We got to understand what is it that they do well and help them develop that. And by doing that, you begin to understand and connect with everybody and be able to kind of create that musical piece that Jake could probably explain better than you and I.
Well, I'm glad you're going with the metaphor here. I can feel you're into this.
I'm in it. Yes, I am.
I totally agree about the common language of leadership that is so important. And I think another thing, as I think about, I know it's about the others. I'm learning and understanding who they are, strengths and weaknesses. Am I okay? Do I have a mindset that's okay for wanting them to shine brighter than me? And I go back to the soloist. I'm the conductor. I've got this outstanding, you know, violinist soloist here, and they're going to get when the curtain goes down, and they're going to get all the, you know, that wow, that violinist was so great. Am I okay with that as a conductor?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, when I first became a first line manager, I had been a star salesman. I got promoted. It was every year at the awards thing. It was always about me getting
Mary
the awards
Holly.
And all that. And all of a sudden, I'm at the awards thing, and my people are getting the awards, and I'm, you know, recognized as a winning team. But the individual, I'm not getting that individual. And am I okay with that? I said yes. That as an orchestra leader, I want to see my orchestra win. Am I okay with me not getting the spotlight, letting the spotlight fall on them?
But that's a fair question, because most of us get promotions because we were successful as an individual contributor at some point in time. And so I think that's a fair analogy that we all have to deal with that you're vulnerable in sharing that story. But I think all of us have to figure that out, because as you progress through the ranks, it's probably because at some point in time you were very successful as an individual contributor.
But you know what, thinking back as you're saying that, I got better and better at that, almost to the point where it was more fun for me. I knew I was going to get mine. I'm getting awarded. I'm getting compensated.
Right.
My bosses acknowledge that I'm making a difference. That you know, that's okay. But I had fun promoting others to the spotlight.
Yeah.
And it's watching them shine, because you know what? It made it, that we talked about momentum at level three, about building that positive momentum of how it's fun to be on this team. It's fun to win. We work together to do hard things. And the more I could bring them into the spotlight, it brought an energy that I could sit back and smile now thinking about it. We made a lot of fun out of it, a game almost of enjoying working together. But if I'm shining all that on me, it's not that joyous for other people, I've noticed.
Yeah, and at level three in the five levels, that's what we talk about. It's what you have done personally,
yeah,
but in and through your team.
Yeah.
That you begin to gain leadership credibility. And I think that's so important. And so as you begin to think about this, the illustration of the soloist to the conductor, I just want to encourage a couple things that we have here for you. Should have a mindset, a shift of how do I set others up for success? Mm-hmm. How do I learn from their strengths and their weaknesses? How do I help them learn their strengths and weaknesses? I love this one right here, which is, you got to see the potential in each person. That conductor can see exactly why the fourth chair or whatever in a certain situation adds value to the overall orchestra. And then this goes back to what you were just talking about. What you thoroughly enjoyed is you got to honor them in front of others for the work that they are doing. And here's what I would encourage you to do is I want you to put yourself in your shoes back when you were making your way through the ranks and you were an individual contributor and what it felt like when your leader did that, or maybe when they didn't, right? Maybe, right. You know, not everybody has been led well. And so I want you to have that thought process, because as you grow in your leadership, you need to learn from that and do that in order to get the buy-in from your team.
Right. Now, those things you list are not things that a normal individual contributor would do. These are really leader things. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about another thing that great conductors do. It's a little out of the ordinary for an individual contributor. The soloist would never do this. But the orchestra leader looks for ways to make the soloist better. I'm thinking maybe level four-ish type of things here. How do I develop? Can I see things, add value? Can I give feedback? Do I coach? What is it I do to make that soloist even a better soloist?
Yeah, and the thought I just had was, may not even be better necessarily for the soloist performance as a solo, but it will be better performance for the orchestra as a whole, okay, when they're right, able to kind of take, yep, that in that. And I love what you said. John, you know, wrote a book, Leader's Greatest Return. And part of that process is just making sure that we focus on finding ways to help the team grow and improve in the skill set that they've already been gifted to. They've come to you. You got to improve the skill set, but they've come to you already with a skill set. What are you doing on a daily basis to figure out how to help them grow in their area of expertise?
Yeah. Well, the bottom line to me is that if you want to be this kind of leader that others want to be associated, I don't have to follow you, I want to be a part of your team, I want to be in your orchestra, then you really got to move from me to we, as we said. I got to focus on others. You're really moving from receiving to giving. I may not get the spotlight, but I'm going to give the spotlight to others. I'm moving from producing on an individual level to helping others produce and be better. And I think when I think of that shift that John mentions is really critical. That's why I call it the first leadership move, is to move away from this thinking that it's all about me. It's not. It's about the team now, and I've got to act differently to draw the best out of others.
Well, as I wrap up, I want to give you some application to what we just talked about. Perry and I were just talking before the podcast about different leadership principles, and oftentimes they come across as very simple, but we don't take action. We don't apply them to our lives. And this is the same thing right here. Like, I get it. The soloist, you know, where we're going, the conductor,
like
orchestra. Yeah, let me give you some things that I was just thinking about while you were talking. Inside the John Maxwell Company, a couple years ago when John released this book, our internal team did case studies, and we asked for different volunteers at each one of the shifts, some that we're going to cover over the next couple episodes, to share their personal story of what that shift meant to them and to give an example of that. And I want to challenge you that whether it's in your next one-on-one meeting, whether it's a team meeting, if you came into the room and you wrote those two words on the board, the soloist, the conductor, and you began to have a conversation about the individuals in the room. Where do they feel like they're playing? As a team, in regards to the organization, where do you feel like your team is in the bigger picture? And you gave them those word pictures, as we'll call them, and began to have a conversation. I think it'd be fascinating conversation to really find out what's going on. And then if you're in a place, and I want to challenge you to do this, to ask them again, one-on-one or in a team, say, where do you think I play? Do you think I am more of a soloist, or am I more of a conductor? And what can I do to move to more of a conductor? Because I think that's pivotal. I want you to have the mindset and continue to strive to bring out the best in everyone on your team or in your circle of influence. You don't have to have direct reports. But this is so key in developing your leadership culture. And you're going to be proud of me because in preparation, because Perry does all of the design and the work and the content. And I went and I looked up the definition of a conductor.
Oh, this is big.
Isn't this good? Aren't you proud of me? No, I don't want to write next week's podcast, okay. But I have some content for you, right? And I want you to listen to this. It said, the primary responsibility of a conductor is to unify performance, set tempo, execute preparations and beats, listen critically, and shape the sound of the ensemble and to control the interpretation and pacing of the music.
Wow.
To me, that sounds like a leader.
That does.
Right? I underlined a couple words. The unify, the set the tempo, the execute, listen critically, and then shape. And I thought, my goodness, man, Perry.
That's really good.
I'm bringing this home with a definition. And so when I think about that as a conductor, I think it's a great conversation for us as leaders. And you follow those words. Again, my challenge to you is to ask that question one-on-one.
Yep.
Not only of them and where they feel like they're playing, but them of you, and then do it in a team environment. I think you'll have a fascinating conversation.
That was good. I'm taking notes over
here. All right, I'm done. That's all I got for today.
You want to do your solo now?
No, okay. I do not.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. A great conversation. As a reminder, if you'd like to learn more about the Five Levels 360 Leader, about our virtual or in-person workshops, you can find that out at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can also leave a comment or a question for us there. We always love hearing from you, and we're always grateful that you would spend this time with us. That's all today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.